Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is the TNA Wrestling World Champion Nick Nemeth joining the show, as well as Tessa Blanchard joining the show. How are y'all doing today?
Good. Thank you for having us. Yeah. It's an honor to be here.
Absolutely.
I think Tessa was getting ready to do some push-ups before this. Is that what you were like doing there? You're getting ready to get some push-ups? So,
Nick, you want to take the reins on that one?
We were just getting in the zone, and mostly, if anyone's doing push-ups, it's Ross.
Who's, okay.
Yeah, at the moment, but it'll be... It'll be after this for sure.
And okay. Time.
Possibly during the interview.
All right. There we go. There we go.
All right. Did you guys appreciate the hustle from our people to get down there once we found out they weren't going to let you up? We have really high clearance
levels.
Well, I mean, here.
I've been here for an hour and a half, and yeah, eventually
oh
you did.
My gosh. Nice. I was going to say, hold on. Nobody texted me.
I slept
then.
Here last
hold
night. On. Just to, I wanted to get a feel for the room and everything.
I thought I saw him when I came in earlier on the couch. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like, hey, are you going to be on your show? And he goes, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Like, you know, you just like you're dressed for the job that you want. I just like, came here. I brought my resume. So here it says. All wrestling, no real jobs for 20 years.
Nice.
You're going to do our Best Buy Windows read and everything like that. I like that. So y'all are obviously in town in Dallas specifically for the first time in about 2.5 years. And I remember that very vividly because the last time you were here, I fumbled my attempt to get TNA wrestlers, then Impact wrestlers on the show because we were having a baby.
Oh,
and
dang.
So, yeah, so the last time you guys
were
here.
Three of you guys here. Is it a group? Yeah,
three men and a baby
kind of
situation. Steve Gutenberg, Ted Danson kind of deal.
That kid keeps getting him sick.
Yeah.
That is very true.
Keep saying, so, stop letting
they're little germ monsters.
I'm good now. But it's been 2.5 years since y'all have been in the market here. And obviously, this is a big market. This is a great wrestling market. What does it mean to be back in Dallas? And I guess for you as the world champion, for you returning to the company after a while.
If you're looking at me, so I'll go. But like, it's all, I know Texas is fantastic for wrestling. Like you can go to like, oh, we're in Pennsylvania. We know there's Texas is something that sits with me because I was a big Freebirds guy, Freebirds, Von Erichs, WCCW stuff. Michael Hayes, one of my mentors. And just he's constantly telling me old guy stories, but tell me how much better they were than us, all that stuff. But it's when I first went to Ohio Valley Wrestling, I got a stack of VHS tapes because that's how old I am from Jim Cornette. And it was like a bunch of different things to watch and to learn and promos and different things. And just watching and listening to the Von Erichs come out anywhere in the Dallas area.
Yeah.
To
Stranglehold.
Shrieking like the Beatles on Ed Sullivan shrieks. But instead of 100 people, it's 50,000 people in a stadium is one of the things. Like, I got chills on my arms thinking about it. Right. I used to watch this tape every once in a while. I have a couple beers with everybody else and just put this match on and watch it and just go, this is an old stadium. People are losing their minds. And then they quiet down and then the wrestling happens and they lose their minds up and down the whole time. And it's just, you just know that the tradition is there. And taking 2.5 years to get back here, that's on us. But we've been all around Texas and it's just such good fans. You can have half full stadium, but they're bloodthirsty and so behind us. It's so great. But the last time we were here, we were selling it out. No big deal. So we're going to be bouncing all over the place.
And y'all got San Antonio TV coming up.
Yeah. And that was sold out last time too. And the crowd, it's so fun when you know you feed off that energy and it's just the hotter they are, the better the show is.
San Antonio is going to be a blast, too. I'm particularly excited because we're talking about Blanchard territory.
Yes.
Southwest Championship Wrestling, from my dad to my grandpa. There's so much history in San Antonio for us. So to go and wrestle there, have my dad present, it's going to be something super special.
Is Jim Cornette, I'm always curious, this is a family show, of course, mm-hmm. but is Jim Cornette as prolific of a cursor as I've perhaps been led to
believe? It's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, I was... I'll try and make this quick. I was brand new in wrestling, and I did not come from the independents, and I got hired because I was a fan who had a tryout, and it eventually worked out. As Division I wrestler, all-time winningest wrestler, I can't say.
Yeah, oh, just that. Just
most pinfalls. Most pinfalls. I've heard that.
I was in high school. But that got me a tryout. That had nothing to do with anything. I didn't know what I was doing. I have no idea how to do pro wrestling. I'm just a fan. And I finally trained for a couple of months. I get a dark match. I'm going to rush through this as much as I can, but it's myself, Kenny Dykstra, and another tag team, and I'm a couple months in, and it's my first match. There's a mistake, and that happens, and that's fine. And afterwards, Cornette goes down the line, like, you MF this, blah, 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 you MF this, and you, I know it's your first match, but you can be better. You know what? You're fired. And he fired me.
Whoa.
And I go, I don't have any relatives in the business. I don't know how anything works. And I'm just distraught. I'm just sitting there in the locker room, and my buddy Johnny Jeter, who was eventually in the Spirit Squad with me, he comes over. He's the champ at the time. And he's like, dude, what are you still doing here? We're all going out. I go, Cornette just fired me, man. I got to call my dad. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And he starts laughing. He goes, he's fired me 150 times since I've worked here. He goes, you're going to get fired 10 more times this month. I'm like, what? And then I was like, I don't buy it. I go into to see Cornette and I'm like, hey, am I fired? He's like, what? You dumb MF-er? No, of course you're not. Blah, blah, blah. And he jumps up. I thought he was going to shoot me because I'd heard that he's got a gun back there. He's made it quite clear. But it was like so funny. He swears up a storm. But he is a genius mind, and I learned so much from him and Rip Rogers. But that's like, you dumb MF-er, you thought you were fired. I'm like, you said the exact same sentence.
Literally said I'm
10
fired.
Minutes ago. Yeah. You dumb MF-er, you're fired. Like, what? I don't know what to believe or not. And it was so great. I got to learn so much. That guy knows everything, and Rip Rogers knows everything in the ring to help me out for especially 101, brand new wrestler. I got to learn from some of the best.
Our co-host used to pitch for the Mets, and the way you describe that feels very similar to some of the crowd reactions that you would talk about that you would get if maybe it wasn't your best start.
Yeah, sometimes they would get mad at how much money we made, and I'm like, I'm not the one making that money. Can you please yell at somebody else? I'm on league minimum right now. Tess, when it comes to the energy, we're talking about the energy of the crowd. Can you remember a moment in your career where the energy of the crowd did something to elevate your game?
Oh, I mean, I think all of us, every wrestler, we feed off of the crowd. I remember actually in Dallas, Texas, it was one of my final matches when I was with Impact Wrestling for Hard to Kill, me versus Sammy Callahan for the Impact World Heavyweight Championship.
I was at that show, just saying. I was at that show.
It was a history-making night, and I think the energy from the crowd, all of those feelings, you could just feel it in the story that we were telling. So probably that night, if I have to go back. But now being a part of TNA, coming back, seeing how much the company has grown, it's a completely different company from when I was first a part of it. And to see the arenas that we're running, the crowds that are showing up for us, the partnerships that are being made, it's a great time to be a part of TNA Wrestling.
Yeah, just yesterday, I know obviously y'all have dealt with this for a while, but just yesterday, the official partnership announcement between TNA and the WWE, and I know both sides have kind of dabbled on both shows. What do you think about this becoming official? Because it kind of feels like y'all had been feeling each other out. Now we've got ourselves an official partnership.
I think it's great for everyone. It's here's the biggest winner, the fans. Like wrestling is fantastic. We love it. Some of us, it's our whole lives, and it's like we live for it. And now this time in 2025, there's wrestling every single day of the week on TV.
Yeah.
You can go see it live. You can see something independent near your house. There's wrestling everywhere and good wrestling, which is fantastic. And having this partnership that hopefully benefits both sides, it's going to benefit the fans no matter what. And it just makes these things that you had in your head, like, wouldn't it be cool if this gal and this guy and this could have a match here? And you're like, yeah, that'd be neat. Like, you know what? On Thursday, it might happen. You don't know who's going to show up on Impact. You don't know who's going to show up on NXT. You don't know who's going to be in the Rumble. There's a surprise. Anything can happen, and that's really cool for a fan because there's only a few moments a year where you get to really go, oh, Tessa showing up the other day is another one. Like, really, just like, I was there. I didn't know what the hell's going on, and I go, oh! Like, you only get a couple of those, and it's so fun to see them happen.
Do you ever have discussions backstage if you're like, have a prior relationship with this person, you're like, hey, what the hell? You didn't tell me you were going to be here and you disappeared. Like, you couldn't have texted me or something? Has that ever come up?
You know what? The good thing about my return, my coming back to TNA wrestling, was it all happened very, very fast. There was almost no time to tell anyone.
Okay.
So even for me, it was a surprise. I didn't expect it to happen. But thankfully, it was a really cool thing in the locker room and for the fans. And Nick said it best himself, with the partnership, with all the cool things happening in wrestling right now, the winners are the fans.
That's awesome. Do you guys, I know y'all have a busy schedule. Do y'all have time to stick around for another segment, or you got to keep moving and grooving?
We're going
to
talk hockey, or what's the deal?
Why the hell would you give Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract?
Bro, don't even get me started. $250 million guaranteed.
We have to talk about that. Do they have time to stay around for just a little bit?
All right, yes.
We're going to keep Vic, and we're going to keep Tessa, and we're going to figure out why they gave Deshaun all that money. All of that coming up next right here on The Fan.
Super kick!
It's C Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Nick Nemeth and Tessa Blanchard in studio with us. The pay-per-view Sunday night at the Curtis Colwell Center in Garland. It is TNAWrestling.com, CurtisColwellCenter.com if you want to get tickets. Nick, you are in the main event. Tessa, I would argue you're in the co-main. I'm sure there's other people who are like, I'm in the co-main, but I would argue that y'all have two of the at least three biggest matches on the card. Do you want to go ahead and brag on yourself and say that is accurate?
You know what, though? I think that the entire locker room, and just from the matches that I've seen, every match outdoes the next one after the next one after the next one.
I've been saying the same thing all morning and yesterday, too. It's like I used to be in that first or third or fifth match, and I'm like, we're stealing the show from that main event. We're going to teach you a lesson. And now the last four pay-per-views in a row, I'm going on last going, how the hell am I following this? And I gotta like step up my game. And then I watch, and it was a 2 out of 3 falls, and it was Masha and Jordan. I'm like, man, I can't follow that. Holy shit. And then, oh, sorry.
Boom.
And then,
this week we did. Two days ago, Kevin.
If it makes you feel better, I accidentally said the F word.
You said friend? You said friend on the air?
I did. I really just.
We did it.
But awesome. Everyone's eyes just
got that's how good the match was. That's how good the match was.
Yes.
I got what you're saying.
That's how darn good it was.
I got what you're saying.
Powerful.
But it's like, I watched that, and then I watched the Hardys and the system tear it down. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I watched the X Division match. And I'm like, I love this challenge. They are all main events. We've built the stories that there, and just no matter where they are in the card, it's going to be awesome. And I'm looking for the entire card every step of the way. Even a couple of kickoff matches that we have are Leon Slater, I think, and Frankie have a match. And I don't know which part of the show it's on, but I was like, oh, man, that's going to be fantastic. It is that's what this is about. Like, everyone's talking about TNA because the talent is there, and it's going to shine on Sunday.
Now, Tessa, one of the things I'm intrigued by is it's not that you haven't been wrestling, but you're not always wrestling in the United States, are you? Like, can you catch people up for where have you been wrestling and what you've been up to?
Sure. I've been traveling a lot lately, but for the better part of the past year, I've been wrestling over in CMLL over in Mexico City. Fell in love with the culture, fell in love with the people. CMLL is one of the wrestling, well, it is the wrestling company with the longest running wrestling company in our sport. So it was always a dream of mine to wrestle in Arena Mexico, and getting to do that, it's just something that I hope everyone gets the chance to experience in their lifetime. But, you know, prioritizing my future, putting my goals pen to paper, it was time to come back to TNA wrestling. This is kind of where I put everything on pause. I went back to college for international affairs, joined ROTC to get into the United States Army. And that was kind of the track that I was focused on for a while, but wrestling was always in my heart. And I was like, I always say that I have unfinished business in the professional wrestling business, and TNA was the place to come back.
Because you were the world champion when COVID hit, and it led to all of that other stuff that you talked about. So when you say unfinished business, like that feels accurate.
Sure. Yeah. I stepped away for a good 3 years. I don't want to make the mood somber, but I kind of felt okay stepping away from pro wrestling. I found peace with it. But like I said, I'll make the story quick, but I was in my lieutenant colonel's office, and he goes, Blanchard, why aren't you signing your contract? You're the top in your class for 3 years now. Like, why aren't you signing it? It's time, do or die. And I was like, sir, I'm going to be completely transparent with you. It's because everything is set. You know, my finances, my future, my everything is so laid out perfectly. But wrestling is in my heart. And I know that I am darn good at this. Like, I know. I'm like, I know that I can do this. I know that I remember when I first started in my name, a lot of people would say, it's your name that got you here. It's your name that got you these opportunities. And I'm like, well, your last name might get your foot in the door, might get you in front of the right people. But once you get in the ring, it doesn't really do much for you. It doesn't drive the miles for you. It doesn't pay the bills for you. It doesn't take the bumps for you, that's for sure. So it's your training. It's how well you've prepared. It's maybe who you know to get there, but what you can do to stay there. And I've never been scared of hard work. I've never been scared of starting over. I've never been scared to call myself a student, no matter what stage of the game I'm at. And I stand on that.
Man, that's a fantastic answer right there. Plus, she didn't swear, which I really appreciate.
I learned my lesson.
What a true professional. At least there's one true professional here.
Now, one of the things we were talking about off air, Nick, you mentioned Kenny Lofton as somebody that you really liked. So I'm going to turn over the floor to Mike Bassick, who was previously teammates with Kenny Lofton. You have a fun little story for us there, do you not?
Yeah, so I make the major leagues in 2001 with Cleveland, and then September 11th happens. So we're in Kansas City. We bus back to Cleveland, can't get a flight at that time. And so we're just having practice as the league is shut down, trying to figure out what to do in the world. And I have a 1994 Ford Explorer. This is 2001. And I'm just parking in the parking lot. I've only been in the big leagues for a few weeks. And so we're having team stretch. And Kenny Lofton starts yelling at somebody. And my name's Mike, by the way. And he's like, Steve! Hey, Steven! And I'm stretching next to, there's one's about to be a Hall of Famer, CC Sabathia, and then David Risky. And they're laughing at me because I'm just trying to be quiet. I'm a new guy on the team. I don't want to upset anybody. I want to just, the veterans are going to pick on you, but that means you're part of the team type of deal.
And he's looking for Steve.
He wants to yell at Steven. And then David Risky looks at me and he's like, he's talking to you.
And you were thinking, hey, man, this Steven guy's in trouble.
They're like, giving him the business.
Good thing I'm not him.
Yeah. You don't park the $1,000 car with the $100,000 cars. So I didn't know. I pulled in my 94 Explorer next to like his $100,000 sports car. And so Kenny was a great teammate. I loved Kenny. But then he had all the rookies over later to his house, and he had all these video games, and he wanted to make sure the rookies were treated well, but not happy that the rookie didn't know where the crap cars are supposed to park in the parking lot.
Did you have to park across the street, East 9th, no, a different lot?
I actually asked
with the fans.
I asked the rookies, I'm like, where do we park? Like, yeah. I was like, I'm sorry.
You'll walk to practice.
I didn't tell you guys this, that same year, a week or two later, Omar Vizquel is trying to sell like Boy Scout or Girl Scout, whatever, cookies or whatever, and for us to sign up for things. And he gets to me and he passes it to me and he forgot my name and he had to look up at
Steve. Steve, how many cookies you want here, Steve?
It wasn't just Kenny who had no clue who I was.
You know, you guys have your names on the back of the jersey. Maybe on the front it should put the first name, just so everybody's covered.
But to be fair, sometimes Cleveland Athletics makes mistakes, like giving $250 million fully guaranteed to a quarterback who is oft injured and not that good anymore. What the hell are y'all going to do now?
You want that?
Plus several other things off the field that are alleged, which heartbreaking stuff for Cleveland, the fan base. Who I thank you for the Kenny Lofton story, by the way, because Kenny Lofton, Bob Uecker, Pete Rose, Ricky Henderson, my all-time favorites. But I'm locked in on Cleveland. But it's just the city deserved better than that deal. The fans, you know, the team decided that they like did Baker Mayfield dirty. They went and grabbed another quarterback while he was still there.
Yeah.
They didn't tell him what was going on, but you see what's happening. And then they go $250 million guaranteed to a guy who hasn't played football. He didn't play the season before and maybe a little bit before that. And like, that's kind of crazy, right? Like, oh, they must know something we don't. And They sure as hell didn't. Sure as heck did not.
You're fine with that. We think about like, in the world of sports, so how much it will mean to Cleveland or how much it can mean in the world of wrestling when the comeback story happens. Because think of Detroit right now with the Lions. It's $1,000 to sit in the upper deck for that playoff game coming up because Detroit, since the 1950s, they haven't had really a good team since the 50s. Cleveland, they lost their team, so it was a sellout every night at Jacobs Field because there was no football to go see. So, like, if Cleveland ever gets great again in football, it will just be spectacular to be at one of those games.
It'll be nice. And it's like, yeah, the Lions, they know the same deal. I think I saw a stat because my buddy's a Raiders fan. It was like Raiders, Lions, and the Browns, all these 95 years without a championship or whatever the hell it was. It was so ridiculous. And I'm happy for the Lions. At least we can, you know, they're nearby. We can root for them, which is great. But, yeah, Cleveland's been screwed left and right by the management more often than the players and people involved. But for some reason, every year we go, you know what? We're not going next. We're not going to support them. No. And then we're there the first day, 50,000 people. And it's like,
I'm sure Cowboys fans don't know anything about that. So
you've had some good runs.
That's true.
I got my Kofi's telling me like, you know, the Patriots, man, we can't catch a break this year. Excuse me.
Stop it.
You had 25 years in a row and now you're taking a year off. Yeah. Beat it.
Now you talked about how everyone in wrestling or just in life loves a comeback story. Now this could apply to both of y'all. Now, specifically Nick, for your main event, I hope I'm not breaking any news when I let you know that I feel like most of the crowd will be rooting for you to lose against Joe Hendry.
Of course.
What's it like for both of y'all being in an arena, being in a ring, and knowing that pretty much everybody there wants you to lose? Because I know that's got to have happened.
You know, Kevin, you know this experience. You've been in this experience whenever our fans are like, oh, we want to see him go down.
Absolutely. I get it because I've been on the other end of it. I've been in several different main events at pay-per-views against John Cena where I don't deserve it, but 99% of the crowd is rapidly cheering for me, the bad guy, against him. And so I've been there before. I know the deals. And as long as they're involved, as long as they're voicing their opinion, we feed off it no matter what, and it's the best. And the last time I fought Joe Hendry, I had a 90% crowd cheering for him also. And no offense, that doesn't help him beat me because I'm really good.
Same question for you. I know you've been in that scenario.
Hey, when I made the decision to come back to TNA Wrestling, I wanted to make a statement. I wanted to send a message. And who better to do that with than the top dog right now? Jordynne Grace has transformed her body, her mind, her work into this powerhouse. She's the name that everybody's talking about. She's across the lips of all the companies, all the fans in multiple countries. And the thing is when I was in Impact Wrestling, I was at the top of the mountain and I knew it. And that rubbed people the wrong way. And I loved it. And then when I left, stepped away for a few years, it left this space for someone to go take the ball and run with it. And that's exactly what Jordynne Grace did. She reached up, she grabbed that ball, and she became this absolute powerhouse. But I'm back and I want my ball back. So this Sunday 19th at the Curtis Colwell Center, I'm coming and it's going to be an absolute war.
If you want to see the card, TNAWrestling.com. You can go to CurtisColwellCenter.com. If you want to pick up tickets, I want to remind everyone, if you get the Power Slam front row section, that's got the commemorative take home chairs. You get to sit in the front row section. There's going to be a pizza party, barbecue with wrestlers. Now, Corey.
I love barbecue.
You need to spend time with your family. You can leave those seats for me.
Okay.
That Texas barbecue. Yeah,
exactly. So plenty of stuff to love. And like you guys said, match after match, trying to outdo one another on the pay-per-view Sunday, Garland, Curtis Colwell Center. Guys, thank you very much for jumping on the show with us today.
Thank you for having
us. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We'll be the champions that Cleveland and Dallas lately can't have.
Okay. I want you to win, Nick.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. There you go.